All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a Chief Warrant Officer helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969. I want to welcome you to our program today. I think it's a pretty special one. We've got a number of great guests. We're going to be talking about benefits today. So if you have any questions, you can give us a call live on the air. The local number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. We're going to talk with our mental health expert here in just a moment. And the reason I'm doing that is that it is Suicide Prevention Month. And unfortunately, the number of suicides has been going up during the coronavirus. And we want to make sure that maybe we can come up with some ideas to help some of you help others just as well. And I want to remind you of the Veterans Crisis Hotline. That number is 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. Press the number 1 and you'll be put in touch with a counselor immediately. So if you know of anybody or you think you're having issues or problems, that's the number to call. All right. Well, I got to make a special announcement today. We've got a new affiliate. I should have music in the background. The new affiliate is KFOW AM 1170 and FM out in Minnesota. And they're going to be carrying the program on Saturday mornings at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock Central Time. So we're really excited about that. Stay tuned to veteransradio.net for more information about that. But we will be starting to broadcast on KFOW next Saturday. KFOW is a little bit south of Minneapolis, near Rochester, in that area out there. I'm not that familiar with Minnesota, but I've been told that that's where it is, and it's good veteran population out there. So we're really excited with that opportunity. Also want to make sure that we thank all of our sponsors. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do this program for the last 17 years, and hopefully another many more years in the future. I'm not going to say 17, but we'll see how far we can get. Number one, of course, is Legal Help for Veterans, and Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans' disability claims. For more information, you can go to their website. That's legalhelpforveterans.com, or give them a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, or NVBDC, their main purpose is to certify that a veteran-owned business is actually that, a veteran-owned business. And the reason this is important to become certified is that it gives you an advantage when you are working with the federal government and with certain companies out there, corporations that are interested in doing business with veterans. There have been some issues out there with companies that claim to be veteran-owned and, they may have a veteran that works there or something along those lines. So it's really important, if you do have a business out there, that you contact NVBDC. And you can do that at 888-237-8434. That's 888-237-8434. You can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. We also want to make sure, for those of you out there, veteran-owned businesses, you can go to VBOC. That is the Veterans Business Outreach Center, and this is under the leadership of the Small Business Administration. And here in Michigan, we call it VetBiz Central. And VetBiz Central is designed as veterans helping veterans, assisting veterans, guard, reserve members, and all those other groups out there in the formation and expansion of your businesses. They put on webinars for you in education, mentoring, counseling, procurement, webinars on how to write a business plan, all kinds of great activities for you at VetBiz Central. And for more information, you can go to VetBizCentral.com. Their email happens to be, the email is info@VetBizCentral.com, or you can give Matthew a call. His number is 810-767-8387. That's 810-767-8380. We also have words from another one of our supporters, and that is the Eisenhower Center. And the Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is a full-service organization that provides rehabilitation of veterans, first responders, and professional athletes through an intensive 30 to 90 day in evidence-based treatment program, and participants recovering from concussion, TBI, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and so forth are immersed in an intensive transitional treatment program to treat multiple deficit areas. You can contact them at EisenhowerCenter.com, or you can give them a call in the local area. That's 734-677-0070. That's Eisenhower Center, their impact program is what we're talking about. The other thing really that just came in from the Eisenhower Center, for those of you that are looking for employment, they're hiring at the Eisenhower Center. And so you can apply directly from your phone. It says they have locations out in Ann Arbor and Manchester. If you want to find out more about what's available, you can just go to HR at EisenhowerCenter.com. That's HR at EisenhowerCenter.com. Or you can give them a call again at 734-677-0070, extension 301. They're hiring. Looking for a job? Might be a good place to go. And, of course, we want to thank our local veteran service organizations here in the Ann Arbor, Michigan area. That's American Legion Post number 46, VFW Post 423, and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America, post number 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Oh, boy, things are going quickly today. So I'm excited. I've got a new guest, not a new guest, but a guest to promo a new her program out there, and that's Melissa Engel. And Melissa is the president and founder of Therapia, hope I've got that pronounced right, counseling.com. And Melissa, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'm really excited for you. I see that, you know, that your private practice is up and running.
Yeah, things are going really well. It's a hard time for a lot of folks. So it's kept me and other therapists very busy.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Well, the reason that I asked you to come on, Melissa, is that you have been running a successful program called Tribe Talks for a couple of years now, and you've been doing it out at Camp Liberty out in Manchester, Michigan. And unfortunately, everything has gone online, and you've been haven't been able to hold those recently, but you're going to try it now online. So tell me all about that.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. So as you mentioned, because of COVID, we're pretty limited with how we can provide services, and there's just a huge need. So I decided to move our program to a virtual setting. So we're going to be offering a group. It's a free program for veterans and service members and their caregivers. And basically what happens is we'll be meeting on Saturday mornings from 10 till 12 for 5 weeks. So it'll be a 10-hour total program, and it begins on Halloween. So what we'll do is we'll have a combination of educational resources, teaching veterans and their family members or service members all about post-traumatic stress, moral injury, how to overcome, and how to treat their symptoms in a way that isn't involving them even having to leave the home. So I teach them skills that will help them learn how to regulate their emotions, bring down that fight-or-flight response, and then once they learn how to ground themselves, so to speak, their lives are often transformed. And it's a really great benefit for me to be able to offer that service to our community. And I'm really excited about the format. So if people are interested, all I have to do is either give me a call or connect with me. We have a Facebook page called Tribe Talks. I have my website, therapiacounseling.com. They can also just email me at tribetalksprogram@gmail.com. Or they're welcome to give me a call Monday through Friday on my business line, and that's area code 586-222-3391.
Well, and I should also point out the cost of this program is?
$0.
That's,
you know,
that's the best part.
You can't get any better than that. And
I don't think so, know, but I think they're certainly going to get more than they anticipate for their outgo there. So this is going to start, as you mentioned, on Halloween. Excuse me,
on Halloween. Yeah, I figured why not start on Halloween, right?
Yeah. we got to do what we got to do. But I think, again, that this is a great thing, and I know that I've talked with people who have gone through your Tribe Talks live out in Manchester at Camp Liberty. And, you know, the comments are always so positive and everybody seems to be, you know, benefit so much for it that I'm excited that you're going to be able to offer this program to the public for free. I mean, it's a veteran. It's designed for veterans, obviously, but it's, let me give out this information. If you want more, you can give Melissa a call Monday through Friday, as she said, at 586-222-3391. Or for more information, you can send an email out to tribetalksprogram@gmail.com. And you can check her out at her website, Therapia. That was it?
Therapia.
Mm-hmm. TherapiaCounseling.com.
Thank you.
That's pretty good. I usually mess stuff up really badly when I try to read things.
You're doing great.
So thank you very much, Melissa. And we will put information for this up on our website. That's at veteransradio.net. So good luck to you. And let us know how it turns out.
I will. Thanks, Dale.
All right. Thank you very much. I need to also point out something to our audience. As I mentioned, that this is Suicide Prevention Month, which should be every day because the number of suicides, unfortunately, has been going back up again. And that's, of course, due to the pandemic that's going on out there and everybody being at home. I would encourage you, if you do have any problems of your own that you may want to try and get a hold of someone like Melissa or the Eisenhower Center, don't be afraid. Don't stay home alone. Reach out to your friends and to other veterans who are, you know, that's what we're out here for, is to try and help you out. We got a little fundraising thing going on here at Veterans Radio. It's not that we're asking for money off the top, you know, right out, just send us money. But we have reopened our post exchange, I guess you could call it, the Veterans Radio exchange, where we've got some paraphernalia out there, some sweatshirts, cups and hats and so forth. And we encourage you to check those out. I think you'll find them really kind of cool. And any money that we can raise goes to the Veterans Radio America nonprofit organization to offset the costs of doing the Veterans Radio program. So again, you go to our website, veteransradio.net, check out our Veterans Radio X, all that good information and some really nice swag, as they tell me. I don't know all the terminology, but it is kind of cool stuff. And it's going to be nice to get those out there for you and for us as well. I'm going to ask you to stick around. We're going to take a real quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with our local experts about what's going on at the VA and as far as the hospital side of it. And also, we've got two veteran service officers here to answer your questions. If you have any questions, again, give us a call. That's 734-822-1600. We will be right back after this quick message.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org. Or call 810-767-VETS.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Well, welcome back to Veterans Radio, and as the song says, what is going on? So maybe we can find out some things for you. Remember, if you have any questions, to give us a call. That number is 734-822-1600. First off, I want to welcome back to Veterans Radio from the Ann Arbor VA, and that is Brian Hayes. He's the public PR director for the Ann Arbor VA. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, Dale. Good to be back. How's everything going in your world these days?
Well, it's I'm hunkered down in the Veterans Radio bunker, and but we have been doing some decorating down here, so it's cleaning up, getting cleaned up a little bit.
Very nice.
But no, everybody's fine, And the reason I asked you to come on, of course, is to talk about the VA and what's going on with the hospital. And if I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a second, I want to introduce our other two guests. And that is retired Air Force Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzon, and she is a veterans advocate plus, and she is affiliated with Legal Help for Veterans. So, General, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hey, Dale. It's great to be there. And Brian, hello. And it's great to be on the line with our experts and Michael Smith. So thank you.
Thank you. And, of course, we've got Michael Smith here, who is the director of the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs and is a certified veteran service officer. Michael, welcome back.
Well, thank you. And hello to General Falzon and Brian and Dale. Hope your days are all going well. And it's good to be back and be able to talk about benefits for our veterans community.
Well, we're hoping we get some calls. If we don't, I have a question for the two of you to think about, and that would be, what is the one claim that most veterans don't know that they could make easily? So just think about that one. Brian, coming back to you. So what is happening at the hospital? Any changes or anything that we need to be aware of?
Sure. We've got a lot of things going on. So we've got so many things always happening at the VA Ann Arbor. And this week, if I've got the time, I just wanted to touch on a thing. I'd be happy to take some questions if you have any. But the first thing I wanted to talk about it's 3 years. We just happened it this last Monday. We took possession of it from the contractor a week ago. We started taking patients on Monday. And this ICU is just gorgeous. And I know, Carol Ann, I know the former, you would appreciate it. It's beautiful. We've expanded the size of the rooms. We put about $6.2 million into it. It's 10,000 square feet, completely remodeled. The giant picture windows for the veterans, the ICUs, to be able to have a view, and the way the rooms are situated, it's great for for the medical professionals working in the nurses and physicians around in the room. So. Really nicely designed. We're really excited. So that opened last Monday. The next thing I kind of wanted to bring up was the new construction that's going on. So in your listening audience, do get their care at the VA in Ann Arbor. Now they should know that we've got some new construction starting on October 5th on the first floor where primary care is going to be rerouted as we're rebuilding primary care area and phlebotomy and giving for as well and replacing some of that flooring and getting all that done. So that's going to go on for a little while. It's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience in and out of there, but we've made it so that our carts can get through and folks can get where they're going without too much trouble. But it'll be a little bit of a part in our construction as for a little while. And then one of the other things I wanted to bring up was, We found, as we went through COVID, so many of our veterans have been putting off their care, either pause, wanted to, make sure that the veterans who needed to be had face appointments could get them so they didn't take a, or they may break come in as of, potential infection or anything like that. But we wanted to let our veterans know that, if you need an appointment, if you need care, get your appointment. Come and see us. We're prepared to see you. We've got all the precautions in place, to mitigate any kind of infection. So we want to make sure that we want to get the word out to welcome our veterans back into the VA if they've been putting off any. So if you've been putting off a surgery, our surgery is full capacity right now. If you've been putting off an appointment with your provider, go ahead and make that call now, so that you can get the care that you need. We don't want getting off care and potentially getting sicker because they might be afraid to come in. We wanted to put that out there. And I guess finally, I had four things, Dale. But finally, wanted to remind veterans to get their flu shot. We're offering free flu shots to veterans. It's right in the front entrance of the Welcome Center where it's nice and comfy. Just come on in there, get your flu shot. It takes less than 5 minutes. I think probably less than 3 minutes to get your flu shot. We want to make sure you get those because I got to tell you, and I think, you know, also, Caroline, you might be able to talk about this a little bit, too. What we're kind of afraid of is this sort of flu, COVID, comorbidity that we may be experiencing come fall, late fall. And the fact that, you know, some folks might be exposed to either or both. And we want to make sure that, you know, we have flu vaccines. So let us at least give you your flu vaccine. And let us, then that way we can at least help alleviate any concerns about that. It's a big issue that VA has been talking about and thinking about and has been concerned about. So we want to make sure that everyone gets their flu shot. In fact, I have to say, the secretary of the VA has made flu shots mandatory for VA employees this year. And that's the first time that's ever happened.
Wow. So that, okay. That's, and there's, are these the super senior citizen doses?
I'm not sure about the doses, Dale, or which ones are which. I think some of those might be more reserved in the clinic. So if you're, if you need that special dose, I think you can go back into the clinic area and you get that dose with your provider. These doses that we're giving at the front entrance that are just sort of your general flu shot, these are for folks that are generally pretty healthy and, you know, just want to be able to mitigate any potential of getting flu. So sort of the regular dose that you get.
I was asking a question because since I am part of that generation now, yeah. I don't know how that happened. But my primary care physician at the VA says I should make sure I get this super duper flu shot. So I thought, okay,
yeah,
I can do that. Actually, we do. And Brian, we have a call from Brad in Ann Arbor, Michigan, who's on the phone. He had a question, a health benefit question. So, Brad, go ahead.
First of all, I appreciate the comment regarding the flu shot. I was about to ask that as well. He's right. It'll take longer to park and walk in than it will to get the flu shot. My question, though, is why does the VA not have local facilities to take care of teeth and feet? Because there's no dentist there and there's no podiatrist on site. I had ingrown toenails. I had to go off-site in order to do it. Fortunately, I found a doctor downriver who did it for reasonable and cash.
I think, Brian, you could probably address that, but I know that some of those, that would be reimbursed once you get approval from your primary care. Is that right?
I believe so. I'm not an expert on community care, but if we send you out, you know, we're going to pay for it. The problem with podiatry, let me address the podiatry first. The problem with podiatry is that there aren't that many podiatrists, and so it's really hard for us to get and keep podiatrists. We're lucky to get one when we get one, and then we have to keep them. I believe we do have one, and I think we have one in Toledo that goes in as well. So that's the podiatry question. So I think that's why most of the time we have to send you out into the community to get your podiatry. It's not that we don't want to provide that care. It's just that we just don't have the podiatrists to provide the care. And as far as dental goes, we have a fully staffed, fully stocked dental clinic on the second floor in the main medical center. So I'm not sure if it's operating at 100% yet. So they might be sending some folks out for that. And part of it, the dental, which has always, I think, been a point of contention, I think, for some folks who get their care at VA, is that you have to be service connected at a pretty high percentage before dental care is provided, mainly because it's such a specialized care and it's very expensive care. And I think, so they have to have that high sort of percentage. He might be 100% or he might be, I think you do have to be 100% service connected in order to get dental care through the VA, unless your dental or jaw issues were specifically service connected due to an injury in the middle.
I don't think that answers Brad's question exactly the way that he wanted to hear. But we'll try. We'll do some research on this, Brad, and see what we can come up with. And tune in next month for our benefits program. We'll be able to answer your question. Or send me an email to dale@veteransradio.net, and I can pass it along to our experts. All righty. Okay, thank you. Okay, Brian, there certainly is a lot of construction probably at a lot of the VAs around the country, it seems like. But by moving their primary care, where are you going to move them to? Are they just updating them?
they're being updated, and so it's we're not like moving primary care suites. That whole rotunda is getting a refurbishment. We'll still be getting care back once you go through the through the double doors and go back into the clinic areas. Those I think are in the next phase. So there's just going to be a lot going on, and that whole rotunda area where, I don't know if you remember, Dale, where like eligibility was and where the cashier was and all of that yes. is getting redone, and those are going to become primary care clinics as well. So the expansion is underway, and I can't wait to see it when it's done.
It's going to be kind of cool. I have another question for you. Any word on the renaming of the facility for Medal of Honor recipient Charles Kettles?
Yeah, right now that's in committee. As you know, how bills kind of move through Congress. Right now it's in committee. It was a bicameral offering from both Senator Peters and Representative Dingell. And so right now it's working its way through the committee. Once it gets out of committee, it'll be up for a vote on the floor of both chambers. They may not be able to get to it in this session, this session, only because there's an awful lot of stuff going on, in case you've been watching the news. They're hoping, according to Senator Peters' staff, they're hoping to be able to get to it before the end of the year, before the end of this Congress. If not, it'll get into the next Congress, and they'll be able to make that decision then and make a full vote. Part of me, everybody's anxious to have this done, but part of me is a little bit glad that it's taking a little bit of extra time to get this through, only because, I kind of want to be able to have a nice ceremony when we do the renaming. And currently, under the present conditions with COVID-19, we're just not having any sort of gatherings whatsoever. And so it would just seem to be a shame to rename the hospital without having any real ceremony. So I think if it takes a little bit longer to get through Congress, that'll be okay. That'll give us time, to be able to get something together and hopefully be able to have vaccinations, and maybe by next summer, if it does get through Congress, we'll be able to have a nice event for it.
Well, that would be great, and I know that there are so many people in the local area, especially, who would be more than happy to come out for that type of ceremony, and hopefully, as you said, maybe next summer we're going to be able to do that. I know we are opening things up slowly but surely,
slowly but surely, but we're still these bigger gatherings like that, and particularly with our constituency in the VA, a lot of our folks are older folks, people that are in senior ages, and those tend to be the most vulnerable folks.
We know about that. Well, thank you, Brian, very much for our update for what's going on at the local VA, and we're going to take a real quick break right now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking benefits, folks. So if you have any benefit questions for General Falzone or Michael Smith, give us a call, 734-822-1600. We're going to take a real fast break for our Medal of Honor, and we will be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Second Lieutenant Walter Trumper, although a navigator, attempted to land his damaged plane to save the pilot's life. Details after this.
An Air Force F-16 fighter jet accelerates from zero to the speed of sound in about a minute. But if you're looking to soar, there's something that can take you higher than any aircraft. A good education. So stay in school, graduate, and see how high you can climb. The future is wide open with that diploma in your hand. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on at airforce.com. Cross into the blue with the U.S. Air Force. No one comes close.
The aircraft on which Trumper was serving as navigator on a bombing mission over enemy-occupied Europe was attacked by a squadron of enemy fighters, with the result that the co-pilot was killed outright, the pilot wounded and rendered unconscious, the radio operator wounded, and the plane severely damaged. Trumper and other members of the crew managed to right the plane and fly it back to their home station, where they contacted the control tower and reported the situation. Trumper and the engineer volunteered to attempt to land the plane. Other members of the crew were ordered to jump, leaving Trumper and the engineer aboard. After observing the distressed aircraft from another plane, Trumper's commanding officer decided the damaged plane could not be landed by the inexperienced crew and ordered them to abandon it and parachute to safety. Trumper and the engineer replied that the pilot was still alive but could not be moved and that they would not desert him. They were then told to attempt a landing. After two unsuccessful efforts, their plane crashed into an open field in a third attempt to land. Trumper, the engineer, and the wounded pilot were killed.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Hi, this is Kid Rock. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they're being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in housing 1,000 veterans as fast as possible. Make a pledge to VeteransMatter.org. Text VETS to 41444 and pledge any amount. They fought for us. Now we fight for them. Veterans matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We're back here on Veterans Radio, and now we're getting into our Veterans Benefits part of the program this Sunday. I want to remind everybody that we have a benefits program on the last Sunday of every month. So put it on your calendar if you ever have any questions, and please send us your questions so that we can answer them on the air, because sometimes whatever your issue is or your problem or concern is, I'm sure that there are other veterans out there that may have the same questions or concerns. So right now I'm going to reintroduce our guests. Number one is Carol Ann Fasson, retired Brigadier General, United States Air Force, and a veterans advocate at Legal Help for Veterans. So, General, how are things going with Legal Help for Veterans?
Things are going great, Dale, but I think Michael and I would like to, when Brian was on, we couldn't get a word in. But so I think both of us would like to do a little cleanup for our listening audience. And when Brian addressed the flu shot, he is exactly right on. You should, all of our veterans and their families, the families cannot get it at the VA, but you should get your flu shots as early as possible. And if you are 65 or older, you do need the super duper. And that shot, you need to get it on board because, you know, with COVID and the flu, they are saying that it will be a double whammy. And you need a little bit of time with the weather changing these days, the hot, the cold, you know, you're picking up flus, you're more exposed. And you need about a good two-week period, 10 days, let's say, to get inoculated. So sooner than later, get your flu shot. And if you are a veteran, talk to your provider. If you're greater than 65, they are available. The other thing, too, is supply and demand. So you want to make sure if you need those, the super duper, that you get in there before, while the supplies are available. So that was my follow-up, and Brian is exactly correct. You need to get that done.
I should also point out to our audience that General Fasson was and is a nurse. So take her advice seriously. Michael Smith is the director of the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. Michael, what's going on in the county that we need to know about?
Well, again, just like General Fasson started out, before I even address what's going on with Washtenaw County, I would also like to caveat on Dale's response to Brad in two regards. One, yes, he is correct. You have to be not only 100%, but you also have to have the permanent and total rating in order for dental care to be provided as a part of your health care package.
Yes.
Second, if you are service-connected for dental trauma, meaning your teeth got knocked out when you were, you know, in the service, whether it was due to some kind of explosion or some kind of event that caused you to lose teeth, or you have TMJ, transmandible jaw disorder, or you have some other issue going on that is dental related that was first diagnosed and treated in service and it is now service connected. Those are the two categories of veterans who are afforded dental treatment at any VA hospital. The other thing is Brad said that he found a podiatrist downriver and that it was affordable and he paid cash.
Right.
That doesn't sound like to me that he was referred to that podiatrist through the office of community care.
Right.
And in that regard, unless it was coordinated through his primary care physician at the VA, and if the VA's office of community care did not refer him to that podiatrist, then he is not going to be reimbursed.
Right. And that's why it's so important, Michael, you're right on. If there is something that's bothering you, like he said, I think Brad said he had an ingrown toenail, call over to your provider, and then it's very simple with the Mission Act to get it referred. I mean, locally, and then it will be reimbursed. But I don't know how many times, I hate to say it this way, but we preach to our listening audience, before you go off and say, well, I paid for this service, get it approved through the VA, and then you will be reimbursed. And so I think that's really critical, and we'll probably, as long as there's benefits month, we'll keep saying that over and over, because I think it's so critical.
And Dale, and so to get back to the county, Washtenaw County is up and running. We have been since our return back to work as the governor relaxed the stay home, stay safe orders. And we're open for everything that we do as a county department of Veterans Affairs, meaning we're filing claims for disability compensation. We're filing claims for the pension programs for both veterans and survivors. We're filing claims for burial allowances through the VA, as well as our own county burial allowances that we have available. We have our financial relief program up and running, and we're taking care of delinquent rents, delinquent mortgages. We're giving out food vouchers. We're taking care of transportation and by giving out bus passes and gas cards, taking care of delinquent utilities, and we're doing our appeals, whether they're direct appeals to the Board of Veterans Appeals, or the other two appellate lanes, which are the higher level reviews or the supplemental claim lanes. And the only impact that COVID is still having on us in terms of all the things that we do would be records retrieval. And that's because the National Personnel Records Center is still only providing assistance for records, and specifically DD Forms 214 or separation documents, only for those who are in medical emergencies, those who are homeless, and for funerals. So if you're just, hey, I want to get a copy of my DD Form 214, unfortunately, the archives in St. Louis are not back open for those types of requests. We have been working with the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency and through their Veterans Resource Center to get notarized copies of DD Forms 214 if they have those on file with the state of Michigan. So, and I would say that my counterparts in the listening area, which hopefully includes the entire state of Michigan, upper and lower peninsulas, we have 78 county departments of Veterans Affairs of the 83 counties that we have that are either full or part-time. And of the 78 that we have, you have 78 different versions of how they're handling and approaching doing their business in this COVID-19 environment. So it's best, if you know you have a county department of Veterans Affairs, to contact them and find out what types of readjustments they have made in terms of their service delivery models. Some are seeing people in person, but they're only doing it by appointment only. Some, like mine, are still closed to the public, and we're doing interviews over the phone or we're doing teleconferencing. So it's best to contact that county department of Veteran Affairs to find out how they're doing their service delivery in this pandemic. Yeah.
Right. I was going to say, don't give up. Across the country, I'm sure that there are, county service officers that are out there trying to do their job the best that they can. So if you have any questions, call your local person or contact your VSO through your Veterans Service Organization. Which I just thought of a question of that is that the DD 214, in order to join many of these organizations, you need to provide them with a copy of your DD 214. And so maybe that's a place where you can get one and then go get it notarized, as Michael said. I thought
Dale, another great resource, since we last met, we had the Veterans Summit, number 11. And, Michael, thank you for participating again with us. You and I were on the live panel. But I would like to tell you, Dale, and we could get it to you, going to www.legalhelpforveterans, that has all been uploaded. Anybody could listen to any of the sites. Dr. Jenny Christmas was fabulous explaining what's going on at the Ann Arbor VA and the VA overall. And then we did have the director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs, Vanita Williams, was there, and she also alluded to some of the avenues to get the DD-214s and things you need. So I would encourage our listening audience, as another resource, go in and listen. If you were unavailable to join us for that day of the 11th Veterans Summit, our first virtual, and there's always great resources. Or Dale, our listening audience could email you, and we're very happy, Michael and I, to get back information to any of our veterans.
Right, and my email address is dale@veteransradio.net. Is there a link where we could put it up on our website so people could review what occurred at your summit?
Absolutely, and I will get that to you, Dale.
Okie dokie. Good, yeah. I know I was teaching that day, so I wasn't able to make it, unfortunately, but virtually. Everything's virtual right now. So my question was, what is the most common claim that veterans could make but don't? Michael, I'll start with you. What do you think is the most common claim for compensation that a veteran could make but they don't?
If I recall, when you first prompted us, it was the easiest claim.
Easiest.
So
yeah.
I was just thinking.
Oh,
when
I say easiest? Okay. Well, you can do easiest first.
I can do easiest, and then I can do common. And I would say it's anything related to what we call presumptive service connection. It's I'll tell you, it's easy, and yet there are still people who don't know about it. Meaning the VA and the Department of Defense have already agreed that certain specific events or exposures have led to certain medical conditions that if you're diagnosed with those medical conditions and the VA can verify that you were on active duty at a certain time or that you were in a specific location at a certain time, the VA will grant service connection on a presumptive basis, such as those who were exposed to Agent Orange or herbicide agents. And it's not just restricted to the Republic of Vietnam, because this also includes Korea and the DMZ and the Korean DMZ for specific times, I believe 68 to 72. And then there's other places outside of Vietnam where it was stored, handled, or used. And so we don't want to forget about presumptive service connection, or those who were standing over burn pits, or those who were participating in radiation risk activities and they were exposed to radiation, or those who were stationed at Camp Lejeune during the time that the water was contaminated for that 30-year period from 57 to 87. So any kind of service connection that's based on presumption is a very easy claim, because the burden of proof is not on the veteran. The veteran merely has, veteran survivor merely files the claim if we can know that the veteran was diagnosed with that condition and then was either in one of these locations or participated in one of these activities. Now, one of the other ones that I would say is a common one that most veterans don't file is hearing loss.
Yeah.
Because we were all exposed to a lot of noise, and high sensorineural hearing loss is specifically related to acoustic trauma or excessive noise. And the VA has a guide that they use for Army, Air Force, and then the Navy covers Navy, Coast Guard, and Marine Corps. And whatever your job was, if they have a chart that says there is a high, medium, or low probability that particular job in the military could lead to hearing loss. So it's worth a chance. If you've got hearing loss and you were in the military and exposed to excessive noise, it's quite probable that your hearing loss is related to military service, and we can file that claim. And not only does that potentially lead to monthly compensation, but more importantly, it leads to treatment at the VA medical centers. And when I say treatment, that includes prosthetic devices such as hearing aids.
Right. Yes, I know. I did that. That's in fact, I'm wearing them right now, so I can hear you very well. Thank you. The idea of those two, I know tinnitus is also another one.
Yes.
That seems to be fairly easily taken care of. Carolyn, what has been your experience with that?
Well, I'm going to agree with Michael. He made it really easy for me because it's ditto, ditto. You know, the one thing, and I don't think it's easy, but I'm getting back to the a DIC, Michael, that, you know, the veteran definitely maybe died because of his service. That was a presumptive. And but the spouses don't know, the widow now doesn't know about DIC, etc. So I think we have a lot of work to do with our continued, and hopefully once again we'll continue our benefits program. And what I could say is it should be just a phone call. So it should be easy. I'm going to turn this around, Dale. It should be easy to pick up the phone or send a question, should I be applying for this? Because sometimes navigating the system is extremely difficult, and we do try to make it easy for them. So, you know, the presumptive, you're right on. I think if it's been approved, you don't have to prove it anymore. But, Michael, I'm going to challenge you a little bit in the sense of, I've been seeing some issues with, it's not as easy with the burn pits and with the radiation because that hasn't been, you know, approved across the board that that's an automatic presumptive.
Well, you're certainly right. I mean, the problem with the radiation risk activities is proving, well, having it in your records that you participated. If you did not have it in your records, then it's left up to the defense threat reduction agency that
to interpret.
Right, that kept supposedly dose readings on all veterans who came into contact with radiation or potential radiation, and yet we found, you're right, in a lot of those instances, they either don't have a record or claim that the veteran's exposure was not high enough to lead to some kind of cancer.
Yes, yes. And that's what I'm seeing right now. And, you know, when you talked about just doing a little house cleaning, the other issue that we see going on right now, you were talking about the National Personnel Records Center getting the DD-214s and some of their records. The other area that I'm still seeing the backlog, and that's getting better, but scheduling these exams for remands is, I mean, they are so backlogged because of COVID, and we understand they're trying to get veterans in, as was stated from Brian. You know, they're opening up, they're trying to do as many exams as possible, but there still is a delay in getting some of those done and then reported quickly so that, you know, it could go back to BVA or remands could be addressed by the RO. So that's some of the things we're seeing right now.
I have a question for you. We've got about 8 minutes left to go. What is the most common claim that you're receiving from our women veterans nowadays? Because there are so many more women in the military. Either one of you can go on that.
The interesting thing is, and it'd be interesting to hear what Michael says. We still don't have that many claims from our females, Dale. Some of the ones we're getting right now are some PTSD in the exposure. But I will tell you, it's still a very small percentage. I would say that the TBIs, I've been working with a couple women right now who had significant TBIs. They were Army, and they're trying now to get their Purple Heart because of that criteria. And, you know, it goes back, if it wasn't clearly documented, if you didn't get all your records, you get denied if you don't meet the criteria. So that's my answer right now. I'm still not seeing a large influx of women applying for benefits.
Okay. Dale, unfortunately for us, and when I say unfortunate, it's because of the culture of the military, and even though they've recognized this culture and a need for culture change, these things are still happening. That's why my introductory word was unfortunately. But yes, unfortunately, the bulk of the claims that we do for women veterans in my office is post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of military sexual trauma, or MST. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, we do, you know, some of those claims will include some orthopedic conditions like all veterans have, you know, knees, backs, feet, ankles, shoulders. And you know, we'll do some other, we just very few, related to exposures like burn pits or radiation risk activities or even herbicides, because of how fewer female veterans were on active duty at that time as opposed to now. But yes, unfortunately, it's post-traumatic stress disorder, second as a result of military sexual trauma.
Ooh, I was afraid that was going to be the answer. I'm not a lawyer. I always, you know, lawyers always want to always know the answer before they ask the question.
Well, and you know, and Michael's exactly correct. I just want to put a little caveat to that. You know, if you claim you were raped, or, you know, this is the military, and you have to go through that, I will tell you, less women are saying, why should I go through that? I'm going to be ostracized. You know, they're going to put me through the mill. And a lot of them do not even go after this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's probably not much different than what is in civilian life as well,
no,
unfortunately.
I agree.
But in regard to MST or military sexual trauma, I think what is the most surprising that many people don't know is we have probably about as many men veterans on our caseload as we have female veterans.
Yes.
Again, post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of military sexual trauma. Some of that was related to hazing,
yes.
Meaning that, you know, it wasn't, you know, a rape-oriented, it was rape. So, yeah, anyway. But in other instances, it was a direct result of being physically attacked, held by at knife point or held at gunpoint, and then forced to engage in sexual activity with a superior or some other male veteran. There's maybe a few. I had a couple, and it was these guys had the ridicule of not only the military when they were on active duty, but also in civilian life when they tried to pursue their claims. When it was actually a female leader or a superior who basically said to the subordinate male soldier or male military personnel, hey, if you want to get promoted, if you want to get leave, if you want to get whatever, you're going to have sex with me. And, you know, basically putting that male subordinate in a situation to have sex with a superior female officer or NCO. And then went and complained and was, you know, if you can imagine what it's like, you know, there's no way, that was military sexual trauma. Well, actually it was. That's maybe one or two on the caseload as opposed to the greater majority that was the other way around.
Oh, okay. So I didn't want to end on a downer like that, that's for sure. So we've got about 2 minutes left. So is there... It's gone quickly again. reminding our audience that the last Sunday of every month is we do these benefit programs. So please send us your questions, and we got some great experts here that can help you out. Is there anything that we should be aware of over the next 30 days that it's going to occur? General Fasson?
Well, the new budget will be coming up. I would just say, once again, if you've got a concern, don't wait for another month. Email Dale, get a hold of Michael or I, and we'll try to help you if you've got an issue that's going on. Why wait a whole month to help take care of those issues?
Right. Michael?
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with General Fasson. Hey, listen, I couldn't tell you how many claims, successful claims, have come out of somebody asking what they thought initially was a dumb question. There yes. are no dumb questions.
No dumb questions.
Even if you ask the question and we give you the information and it doesn't turn into a claim for benefits, at least you have some peace of mind that a road was either closed or a road could possibly be open. So, yes, please ask the question. Call, email Dale, and let's be able to address your request.
You know what, Dale? I just thought of one quickie. Is if you've been raided and your condition starts to get worse, that easy question, go back to your veteran service officer, call Legal Help for Veterans, because you might be eligible for an increased rating in that area. Those yeah. are very easy if you've got the good documentation.
Okay, we got to end on that note. I want to thank you both very much for being on the program. It's in our benefits program. Thank you very much for listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back next week. And until then, you are dismissed.